James chapter 5, verse 7, and let's get into the word of the Lord here this morning for a little while, see what the Lord will do here this morning. Did you come expecting to receive something today? All right. James 5 and verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Amen. And those five words there, the precious fruit of the earth. Praise God. Six words. The precious fruit of the earth. I want to talk about that here this morning and give us a little bit more insight into the Word of God. Would you lift your voice with me this morning and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for your presence today. We lean on you right now. We're trusting in you. Help us with the Word today. Let it find its mark in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. If we were to do a little bit of a study into the book of James here, James chapter 5, I would say this morning that James chapter 5, the theme of this chapter would be patience, because he talks about patience here. Be patient, brethren, and the patience of God. I'm thankful today for God's patience. Amen. I'm thankful today that God is a patient God, that he does not judge us quickly, but he is very patient and very kind and considerate to us. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. I'm very, very thankful for that today. I don't want to talk about patience so much. I guess that's going to be a part of it here this morning. But the Bible says that he waits, or he is patient, and it says he waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Now, to get it in the proper context here, verse 7, we have to go back up to verse 1 and read down through verse 6 to get a full context of this. And it says here, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who hath reaped down your fields, which is of you kept by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. And so James is talking here to the rich of this world, and basically in a roundabout way, he's talking about the injustices that are in our world today. We don't really realize everything that goes on. Thank God for that. We'd probably be depressed every day. But there are people in our world today, the rich of our world. When I say rich, I'm talking mega rich people who are doing their best to manipulate things, and they don't realize that they have come to a place where it is spiritual wickedness in high places. And those high places are the places where the mega rich dwell. It was the same in the days of the early church. James here, the very first pastor of the New Testament church, and I thank God for a pastor, and God has established pastors in the New Testament. And James, the very first pastor who saw things and understood things better than probably most of us would even know today, James is talking about this, and he makes this statement here about the rich, and there's much thievery in our world today. There's much injustice and trouble in our world today. Not going to go into that, but it doesn't take very much reading. It doesn't take very much. Well, you don't have to go very far from your home, and you're able to see the injustices and the trouble that is in our world today. This is what causes wars and rumors of wars. The Bible says in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. James addresses that as well. I'm not going to address that this morning, but he talks about wars and fightings among you. And those are the same results as the wars that we see in our world today. There is a spirit that is in the world. It has been here since Satan has been cast down to the earth. Satan was cast down to the earth when he fell into iniquity. The Bible says that he was perfect until iniquity was found in him. And when the iniquity was found in him, he was cast down from heaven, and because he was lifted up in pride and felt like he had the ability to be God, or to be God of his own life, and he was cast down to the earth. The Bible describes him, and I'm just touching on this, and I'm going to move on here. But the Bible describes him as the accuser of the brethren. That's what what Scripture describes him, and says that he stands before the Lord day and night accusing the brethren. And the spirit of that is in our world today. We hear much about it in the news, and we see that this has been here from the beginning, from the very beginning, but even from the beginning of the New Testament. Hundreds and, yes, even thousands of wars have been fought in our world, probably since the beginning of the New Testament, and it's because man loses patience. Amen. Recently, with this conflict in North Korea that seems to be developing, they said the time for strategic patience is over. We've heard that comment. We're not going to put up with it anymore. We don't have any patience. And so when there's no patience and the other pushes a little bit further, then all of a sudden there's a war that breaks out. And usually when a war breaks out, it doesn't stop with one thing. They're saying that this situation in North Korea could escalate into World War III if everything goes in that direction, because one thing triggers another thing, and then another triggers another, and some are saying today that we need to resolve this before that happens. I say amen to that as well. The answer is not nuclear bombs. Praise God. That's not the answer. They think it is, but that's not the answer, folks. When you drop a nuclear bomb, a lot of things are torn up and messed up that can never, ever be repaired again. And we must understand this here today, and I'm going to use that kind of as a springboard this morning, because during the early rain, the Bible says here, he waits, has long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. So the early rain was the beginning of the New Testament on the day of Pentecost, and this early rain had fruit with it. It was estimated that about 50,000 was in the New Testament church. There have been multiple, probably millions from that time until this day today. If we were to look at it, at this from a time period, we would see that it was approximately 4,000 years from the creation to Pentecost, and it puts into perspective the patience that God has. Amen. God has more power than a nuclear bomb. All you have to do is look at the flood. Amen. God destroyed every living thing on the earth except Noah and his family. God could do that, but did it fix anything? When they came back and they started having families, the same spirit was in the world. Amen. The same spirit of Satan. And so God has long patience to wait for those who are going to serve him and live for him and be faithful through trials and through tribulations. And when we look here at the words precious fruit, we can see that this word precious here means valuable or costly, honored or esteemed or honorable, had in reputation. Amen. And the word fruit there, of course, means fruit as plucked, as fruit that you would pluck from a tree, fruit that you would pluck from a plant, and so on and so forth. And so the Bible says that he has long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. And it's not just fruit, it's precious fruit. It's costly fruit. It's valuable fruit. The fruit of the earth is the church. Amen. The fruit of the earth are people that have given their lives to God, been born again, lived for God, been faithful their whole life. That's the fruit that it's talking about here. And it's precious. It's very costly. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ. It cost a Calvary for us to get here this morning and for us to be a part of the church of the living God. I'm thankful that he was willing to pay that price. And he went through the field and he saw a valuable treasure. He purchased the field so he could have the treasure. And the treasure was the precious fruit of the earth. Amen. God has long patience. He's not disturbed, if you please, about anything that's happening, because he knows everything. Amen. God is not disturbed. Praise God. Everything is all right in the heart of God. God's not going to drop the hammer. And in fact, we look in the scriptures and not only does the Lord have long patience for his people, for the precious fruit of the earth, but actually the reason he needs patience or that he has patience is because precious fruit does not take place in a day. Precious fruit does not come on the vine in a moment of time, but it takes time, especially the more costly and the more valuable it is. Praise God. And my God is a patient God this morning. My God knows how to wait, and not only is he patient, he is kind, and he is kind, the Bible says, to the unthankful and to the ungodly. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust, and so what we need to do is to develop that patience in our heart that God's got it all in control. Everything's going to be all right. Praise God. And I don't have to take things into my own hands. I'm going to show you a few things here this morning. If you've got an open mind and an open heart today. Here was a little thing that I found. It's a question here. It says, why so expensive? And this is something that was sold at Simbikia flagship store in Tokyo. And throughout Japan, a black-skinned, stripeless densuke. Anybody know what that is? It's a watermelon. And they sell them there. They grow them there. And it's a watermelon. It is reported to have a special type of sweetness. And it is grown exclusively on Japan's northernmost island, Hokkaido. And it's only 100 of these are grown each year. and the most expensive one ever sold was a whopping 17 pounds, and it went for $6,100 at auction in 2008, making it the priciest watermelon in the world. How many of you would be willing to pay $6,100 for a watermelon? Hey, it's 17 pounds. It's pretty good size, and so you would have a good meal on it there. Somebody was willing to pay that because it was precious fruit. Only 100 of them were grown. And here's another one of apples. I don't know how much an apple is in the store, probably a dollar. And here is an apple, $21 per apple. Translating to the best in the world, the Shikaiki, and I guess it's probably from somewhere over there as well. They are washed with honey, and they are branded by hand to ensure that they are blemish-free. The orchards where they are grown are pollinated by hand using a tiny wand. And so they go in, climb up in the tree, and they pollinate each one of them by hand to make sure that it is exactly the way it is. You talk about patience now. Some folks, they enjoy coloring, and you know, that's okay, but I don't have the patience for that. There's too many little intricate details, and maybe someday when I don't have anything else to do, I'll sit down and try it for an hour or two, but I'll probably give it up. And I cannot imagine going into an orchard of apples and, I don't know, 100 maybe or 200 apples on a tree to pollinate each one of them by hand so that when it's all said and done, I could get $21 per apple. If there are 200, that would translate into $2,200, $2,200 per tree. And if somebody said you grow an apple tree, you get $2,200 off of it, most people would say, hey, let's plant one today. And but, oh, you got to pollinate it by hand. Oh, well, I'm not really willing to go that far. I'll take $200 a tree for a dollar a piece on the apples, or maybe even less than that. Precious fruit takes time. Precious fruit is precious because of some qualities. Here was the deal of a lifetime is what they say here. Seen a pair of Yabari King melons. So these are round melons. And this was a pair of them, so you divide this by two, and it brings the price down a little bit. But they went for $23,500, making them the most expensive fruits in the world. And another product of the island of Hokkaido, the hybrid orange flesh melon is highly prized for its sweetness. Everybody said sweetness. Y'all didn't say that. But you're going to have to say that if you're going to live for God. Well, praise God. You're going to say that if you're going to live for God. Because you're going to have the quality of precious fruit here today. And as they write here, it has beautiful proportions. The melons are grown in greenhouses, and they are given hats. They put hats on them to prevent sunburn. Amen. Well, I think I could afford a hat if I could get $23,500 for a pair of them. Amen. Maybe we need to go into the melon growing business for our building fund. Amen. Praise God. We could do that. Sister Glenda could make the hats, and we could turn the church into a greenhouse. Amen. A pair of them, all we'd need is, I don't even know how many we would need, but not very many pairs, and we would have it done. Amen. That's something to think about. The world's most expensive grapes were sold at an auction in 2011 in Kanazawa, Japan. I guess all of this stuff is over somewhere else. Each grape was about the size of a ping pong ball, and since there were 25 in the bunch, The cost was about $255. To be sold, the grapes must have a sugar content of 18% and a weight of 20 grams each. And so they take the time to check the sugar content of a grape in order to sell it. I probably think that we think they just pick them off, throw them in a box, and that's how the cheap ones at Walmart or Dillon's comes to us, and you can buy them for $1.99 a pound and all of that. But I'm telling you, some people are interested in precious fruit. Some people are interested in precious fruit. I looked at nuts, amen, not crazy people, but I'm just talking about nuts that you can buy. And it says here the macadamia nut is the most expensive, and it will only start producing nuts after 7 years. And it produces from 7 years to 10 years. So the life of the tree, it only produces 3 years, and that's it. It's over. It's got to be cut down, another one planted, and we've got to wait for 7 years. I don't know how they do this and provide them in the stores like they do, but they do it. And it's grown in Hawaii. It is native to Australia. And they can exceed $30 per kilogram, and I don't know how much a kilogram is. It's 1,000 grams, maybe a handful. I don't know how much a kilogram is. But very expensive in the area of fruit, of nuts. Amen. And so what we can see here in our world is that people are interested in precious fruit. There are those that see the value, they have the ability to pay, and they are not willing to take something that just comes off of any old tree. That what they want is something that is valuable, something that is precious, something that is very costly. Amen. And the Lord today is looking for precious fruit. And this is the kind of fruit that comes from careful cultivation and care. And if we look at other seeds or fruit, if you please, weed seeds are free. Amen. They don't cost anything, and they are plentiful, and they are everywhere. But no one with any sense of value is going to pay anything for a bag of weed seeds. They're just not going to do it because of the value of it. Praise God. God has a long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. Amen. In our world where there's so much land, it seems to me that there are a few places, only a few places where these things will grow fruit harvests that are valuable. And fruit, if we look at it here this morning, fruit is something that takes place naturally. It isn't something that happens necessarily because of what you do. That's not altogether true. But a good tree, I was reading where some of the trees that they, or the fruit trees, whatever it is that they water, they fertilize the ground and they water it with honey. They put honey in, and honey is extracted up into the tree to make the fruit sweet. And I thought that was very interesting. You know what? There's only one place where we can grow like that, and that's in the kingdom of God. Somebody said amen. There's a lot of dirt out there in the world. There's a lot of ground out there in the world, and we are in the world today. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of this world. And so we've got our feet planted on the rock, Jesus Christ, but one foot is there and the other foot is planted in this world. You've got to get up and go to work. And when you get up and go to work, you're going to rub shoulders with the dirt of this world. Not that people are dirt. I'm not saying that. But you've got to rub shoulders with the sin of this world. You've got to rub shoulders with the attitudes of this world. You've got to rub shoulders with everything that is in this world. We cannot build a compound and have a church within a compound. We cannot isolate ourselves and say that, you know, we have to stay here in order to be saved. That's not the way it is. We have to have the inward qualities among us, or within us, rather. It's not so much what we do, although it is important what we do. And it is very important what we don't do. Amen. But we need to learn how to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when we learn to grow, that means we learn how to take ground, dirt, and turn it into precious fruit. Amen. Well, praise God. And I'll talk about that before I finish here this morning. But it is written here in the scripture, Matthew 7 and 17. Even so, every good tree which bringeth forth good fruit, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, every good tree. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Praise God. You're going to know whether or not you're good, or you have a good tree, by the fruit of your life. And we know this morning that if you don't have God in your life, the fruit is just not going to be there. Can't live for God without God in your heart, without the Holy Ghost in your life. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. Amen. The scripture tells us that it is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 and 22, I believe it is. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Amen. Somebody said temperance. Temperance, that's self-control. Amen. That is patience, if you please. But it also talks about patience in the scriptures, that we should add to our life patience. Amen. Because fruit does not take place in a day. Amen. The fruit of your life is going to be measured at the end of your life. It's going to be measured at the end of your life, what you did with your life. And so a tree or a plant produces precious fruit not because the seasons are good, not because the sun is hot, not because it gets really cold in the winter, not because everything is perfect, but because its roots are down in that dirty earth. Amen. And the sun is beating down on it, but it will not wither, the leaves will not wither, because it has inner qualities about it. It has something inside of it that will naturally produce fruit. And so what does that do? That takes away from all of our brag rights. Amen. Well, I've done this, I've done that, I'm doing this, so on and so forth. We don't have any bragging rights this morning. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It is what God is doing in our life. So we can say, I'm not doing anything, I'm just letting God do it through me. Praise God. He's empowering me. He's delivering me. He's helping me. And there are a lot of things, folks, I'm telling you, if we don't have good inward qualities today, then we will get our roots down into the dirt and our fruit will be bitter. Sweet fruit is very valuable and precious, But bitter fruit is not. How many of you ever purchased something and it looked really good and you cut it open and started to eat it and it was bitter and you had to throw it away? Or you try to let it ripen up a little bit and it just didn't help. There was just something that wasn't quite right about it. Anybody ever have that happen? I've had it happen a number of times. I even went online. I found out how to look for a good watermelon, and it gives you some pointers on how to pick them out. I used to think it was thumping them to see if it, and they said that has nothing to do with it whatsoever. I've thumped a lot of watermelons that came out not too good. I'm sure you have too. And I thought, well, maybe I didn't just thump it right. Maybe if I hold my tongue right and then I thump it, maybe that'll show me what's the right thing here. Amen. But the truth of the matter is we are planted, and we are planted as a tree by the rivers of living water, which is the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, oh God, help us. You need the Holy Ghost in your life, and not just to receive the Holy Ghost, and not just to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, but to allow the Spirit of God to produce fruit in your life. Amen. I've seen people that could speak in tongues, or that knew they could feel God and speak in tongues, but then they would, praise God. I probably shouldn't go into stories here this morning, but one man would run the aisles. He went on 2 30-day fasts, and I found out later that after church he'd go home and beat his wife. I'm telling you this morning, it's the fruit of your life is not going to be what you do. Amen. It is not going to be your disciplines, as it were, or your bragging rights to say, I've done this and I've done that. I'm telling you what, folks that are able to achieve things must be careful. And this is the warning of the first pastor of the church. And he said, oh, you rich man, go and howl. It's time for you to get on your knees and pray and ask God for mercy and help. Because Jesus said, how few of the rich of this world are going to be saved. Why? Because rich people are accomplishers. Most people don't inherit their riches. They work for it. They know how to invest it, and they're wise. And then when it comes to their full barns, they sit back and say, oh, take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And there was a rich man that came to the Lord, and he said, just one thing you need. I feel the Holy Ghost in this morning. I know God gave me this a number of days ago. He said, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. You talk about radical. Amen. Now, I want you to just think this morning. If you don't have a whole lot, you could probably raise your hand and say, I'll do it today. But if you've got a lot in the bank today, I'm telling you what, you'd be doing some serious howling and praying and fasting, saying, I wonder if that really was the voice of God. I wonder if God really was speaking to my heart. Amen. The house, the car, everything, everything but the clothes on your back. I'm going to sell it all, and I'm going to give it away to the poor, and I'm going to go and follow Jesus Christ. Very, very few people that are rich in this world. Amen. But some folks that don't have any money are very prideful as well. I find as much pride in the poor community as I do in the wealthy community. And we've all got our rights, don't we? Amen. And we demand things of other people. And God, help us here this morning. I could feel myself as rich because, I've done this commandment and I've done that commandment and I've done this one. Not only did he have physical riches, but he thought he was pretty hot spiritually. I've done this and this and this, and what do I lack? I think what he really wanted was a pat on the back, but I'm telling you what, the wars and the fighting and the bitterness come because of pride. We get our roots down in the dirty earth, and if we're not careful, if we don't let God work in our hearts, we're going to let the fruit of our life become bitter. We're going to let the things that happen to us make us bitter, not better. Praise God. But the Lord's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, the precious fruit. Isaiah 66 and 2. It says, for all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. Amen. If you want God to look in your direction, when he looks in your direction, his face is going to be pointing towards you. And in another place it says, Lord, let your face shine upon us. From God's face there is glory. From God's face there is blessing. From God's face there is good things that come to us, like the sun shining upon us and giving us life here on this earth. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Now that word poor there means it's not talking about poor in money, but it's depressed in mind or circumstances. To him that is poor. Amen. God's going to look to the man that, or the woman that wakes up in the morning and says with a desperation in their voice, God, I need you today more than anything. And he may have $1 million in the bank, but he wakes up in the morning and he says, God, I need you today. If you don't help me, it's not going to be a good day. Bless my day today, God. I need you desperately. Do you need God desperately here this morning? Or have you got everything set in your life and everything's okay and you don't really need a whole lot? I'm telling you what, today Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen. Not poor in their bank account, not poor in the things that they've accomplished, but poor in spirit. Praise God. I need God today more than anything. You know what? If God lifted his hand up off of my life, or if God turned his face in another direction, I'm telling you what, it wouldn't be very long and I would be back in the dust again. If the sun stopped shining, it would be not more than just a few hours and this old world would turn cold and dark, and just a few days and everything would die. There would be nothing living on this earth if the sun extinguished itself. I need the sun every morning. You need the sun every morning. You need Jesus every morning. Well, praise God. I need his word in my heart. I need his leadership in my life. I need the church that he's established on this earth. Praise God. I'm a poor man this morning. Some think they're rich and they've got it figured out, but I don't have it figured out this morning. And you don't have it either. Praise God. We need God. We need God desperately. We need God more than we need anything else in all of the world. So it's poor and depressed in mind or in circumstances. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Amen. Praise God. I'm not getting very many amens this morning, but that's all right. God gave this to me, and I'm going to give it to you just the way the Lord gave it to me. Amen. Let nothing be done through strife. Why? Because strife is the result of pride. Amen. I was looking at this the other day, several days ago, and I said, it just came to me, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. That's in the scriptures. Yeah, it's pretty profound, isn't it? You take the wood out of the fire, you take the barbecue, what do you call those black things, those briquettes? Take the briquettes out and the meat don't cook in the barbecuer. That's probably a good way that we could use that. And so it is that when the talebearer is gone, strife ceases. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Amen. I'm telling you what this morning, what we need is a poor, depressed in mind or in circumstances. Praise God. Well, you might say, well, how can you fly like an eagle when I'm surrounded by all these turkeys? Amen. Somebody said that a few years ago. You know, how can I soar like the eagles when I'm surrounded by all these turkeys? And the truth of the matter is, if you're not careful, you might just start acting like the turkeys when you have the ability to fly high. Instead of having fresh meat, you're going to be eating whatever they give you in the turkey yard. Amen. They say turkeys are so dumb that when it rains hard, they can look up at the rain and the water comes in and they drown on the water. I don't know if that's true or not, but they're really not that bright. And I want to be an eagle for God. I want to be an eagle for God. I want to fly high with the Lord. Amen. And the only way that I can do that is I've got to grow in the midst of all these turkeys. In the night, the enemy came and sowed tares in the field. And in the next day, the Lord saw those tares coming up. Those are weeds. And the precious fruit was right there in the field. But now there's weeds all through the precious fruit. And one of the servants said, Master, what do we do? Do we go tear them out? And he said, no, you've got the wrong concept of this thing of living for God. You don't go around tearing things up. You don't go around pulling it up and taking the matter into your own hands. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? I'll tell you what, we're supposed to be people that have faith in God. And not only do we have faith in God, we have a pulpit in our lives. The Word of God is a sword, a sharp, two-edged sword. And it is the Word of God that goes in there and gently cuts that weed out. Or he may just wait. The Bible says, let them grow together until the harvest. He's waiting. He's got precious patience. Amen. He's got patience for that precious fruit of the earth. And they're growing together, and one is snuffing some out. And unfortunately, this is the reality of the warfare that we're in today. But the truth of the matter is, there are some weeds that will kill the fruit. But the fruit wasn't good fruit. It wasn't strong enough to withstand the pressure of the weeds. It wasn't good enough to stay in the ground and stay in the field. The Lord is wanting the precious fruit of the earth. Praise God. Don't be upset if something happens in your life. Someone does you wrong, or something is said, or whatever. I'm telling you this morning, God wants us to transform the dirty earth that our roots are in. He wants us to be able to transfer that into sweetness. Amen. Because he's not looking for sour grapes. He won't buy it. He'll pass it by. Amen. He'll just pass it by. And I thought it would be interesting to buy. I even looked online. I haven't bought it, so don't worry about the pastor this morning. I thought about buying a Geiger counter, you know, one of those things that does the radiation, because they're saying they're dumping tons and tons and tons of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean every day in Fukushima, Japan. And they said that nuclear reactor that went up in Russia back in 1980 It is still dumping radioactivity into the ocean. And they said that 1 million cases of cancer have come because of that one accident. And I thought, if I'm going to buy some fish, some Atlantic cod or something, I want to put a Geiger counter on it and see if it's above normal levels. And if it's above normal levels, I'm not going to buy it. Back when we were kids, Terry, they had a drink. I don't remember it, but it was uranium or something like that was in there, and they said, this stuff will help you, it'll make you healthy, and they sold it, and people were drinking it, and they all got cancer. Many of them died, and they banned it now. You can't drink that stuff. I want some precious fruit. I want something that's good for me. I want something. You know what? God's not, he doesn't want sour grapes in heaven. Amen. We're not going from earth to heaven into the same situation, folks. We're going into heaven where there's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any sorrow. There's not going to be any death. There's no tears. Amen. We're going into a different situation. Praise God. Well, praise God. He's not looking for sour grapes. He's looking for precious fruit this morning. Trembleth, he that is contrite. And trembleth at my word. The word contrite means smitten, maimed, or dejected, lame. Amen. When somebody gets you down and you're helpless, amen, and you're hopeless, I'm telling you what, it's not time to get haughty and proud. It's not time to lash out. It's not time to get revenge. Come on, somebody. It's time to get on your knees and go to God. God's looking in a direction. He's not looking at everything. He's looking for precious fruit. He's gone through the orchard of this world, and he's looking up in a tree. Amen. He's examining. Well, that looks pretty good right there. I'm going to check that one out. I may just let that one grow before I pick it after a while. And the master pruner and the master fruit picker, he's going through the vineyard, and the trees that produce good, he cuts them back. He gets out his knife and he cuts them back, and so they don't grow wild, because wild stuff doesn't produce good fruit. It's stuff that has been cut back. It's been stuff that's held back, and the master pruner knows what to do, knows what to cut off. Amen. Don't worry about it, folks, when things happen. I'm telling you this morning, don't even consider it in your mind and your heart. Praise God. I'm living for God. I'm going to heaven. And right now, I need to check my attitude. Because some people will come along and put honey around your tree to make you sweeter. And then somebody will come along and pour oil around your tree to try to make it bitter. Oh, well, I can't live for God because of this, that, and the other. Well, I can't do this because of this, that, and the other. You're fooling yourself. I can live for God anywhere. I can live for God in any circumstance and situation. The Bible says that he will not put on us any more than we can bear. Amen. But it is when we consider these things and we think about these things, and then we start thinking about justice, and we start thinking about what's right and what's not right. And I'm doing right, and that's not right. And before you know it, we're all built up into this scenario. And then as somebody makes the wrong comment and a salvo or a shot is fired, amen, that's what started the Revolutionary War, was one shot that was heard around the world. And somebody said, you ain't doing that to me, and they shot back. And then two or three shot this way and that way, and before you know it, there's dead bodies laying on the ground. And then the officials higher up said, you're not doing that to us, we're bringing a battalion out there, and then another battalion, and before you know it, there's a million people that are dead because of one shot. Say, well, we got to have wars to have peace. Not in the church. Not in the church. You know where we have peace? We have peace right here. We have peace with God. Come on, somebody, help the pastor this morning. You know, I can tell you feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And I'm telling you, there are things that come along, and if I don't like it, I found out. This is me, all right? I found out that there are times that God gets the pruning shears out and he clips it off. And it's painful and it hurts. But you know what? We want to just grow in the sun. We just want to have our good old time and grow in the sun and do our thing and just to go in our direction and all of that when the Lord is probably pointing you in another direction. Contrite, smitten, dejected, contrite, or lame. Oh, well, I can live for God. I can do this. I can do that. I'll tell you what, you're in a dangerous place this morning. I can't do anything. I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I can't take my next breath without him. I can't get up and go to church without him. I can't do anything without him. He that trembleth, that word means fearful or also reverent or afraid or trembling. Amen. Have you ever been so afraid that you trembled? Amen. I have, and it's not a fun place to be. You feel vulnerable. You feel weak, and you've got no one to depend upon. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's just not a very good place to be. I had a man pull a knife on me one time way, way, way back, about 1984, somewhere in there. I'm so thankful I had a big, tall, heavy-duty preacher that was with me, and he come out, and the man saw him and backed off. But it's not any fun when someone looks you in the eye with a knife and says, I hate you. Amen. You say, well, you shouldn't have offended him. I didn't offend him. He got caught in sin, and the first place he wanted to go was the preacher. He was going to kill the preacher because the preacher was preaching against sin. And there was a lot of sin in that church, and there was rebellion in that church. And God sent me there to be a voice to them, but they would not listen. And today that church does not exist anymore. And I'm telling you what, folks, there's times when you're going to be trembling because you don't understand what's going on right now. Well, praise God. I can't see the answer. And so in our logical mind, we formulate the answer. And of course, while we're formulating the answer, we might be praying and fasting. And we might be, say, making it into a spiritual matter. Right. Praise God. Amen. Well, God told me. Well, I'm telling you what, God told you that when you're planted, you're planted. You don't pick it up and move it. You plant it and you leave it right there. Amen. I've seen it many, many, many times. And I'm telling you, what we need is God. What we need is humility. What we need is submission to the will of God. Amen. Submission to spiritual leadership in our lives. I don't know why it's so quiet in here this morning, but I'm telling you what, God gave us a pulpit. God gave us a voice. It is the will of God, amen, that we understand that God has set in the church a voice for us so that we can hear the word of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I guess I need to move on, huh? How can we bear precious fruit when there's so many bad things around us? How can we bear fruit, this precious fruit, when people are taking advantage of me? How can I flourish and naturally produce good fruit? Well, I'll tell you what, we've got to have the good qualities of the Spirit of God. A good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Are you a good person? Are you a good person? Oh, well, I think I'm a good person. You know what? It will be tested. The sun's going to shine real hot. Oh, well, I was tested one time. I had a flat tire on the way to work, and I had a test and a trial. Oh, well, we'll just let you get through that one there, snowflake. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll let you figure that one out. Amen. And then we'll move on to the next test. Well, I don't have enough money to pay that bill. Well, all right. We'll be praying for you, honey. Amen. And God will help you through that one, Snowflake. Amen. Well, somebody talked about me. Well, we'll let you get through that one too, Snowflake. I'm feeling something here this morning, and I'll tell you what, I've narrowed it down, and I know what it is. Praise God! But I'm just telling you this morning, you can produce good fruit where you're at. Amen. You can produce good fruit where you're at. We've got to have the qualities of being poor in spirit, contrite in our heart, smitten by overwhelming circumstances that we can do nothing about by ourselves, and having a vast reverence for the Word of God in our lives. It's not just another sermon that the pastor's preaching. Amen. It's not just another service that we're going to. But folks, we've got to have a vast reverence for the Word of God. He that trembleth, not trembling because of my circumstances, but trembling at the Word of God. Amen. Trembling at the Word of God. Amen. God gave us a pulpit in our lives. God gave us a sword in our lives to fight spiritually. Amen. I'm so glad he didn't give us real swords. Muhammad did that. He gave them real swords and said, let's go conquer and destroy. And the scourge is upon our earth today. Praise God. It is. And it will be here. It will fuel end time events of wars and rumors of wars, and probably it will fuel Armageddon. Amen. We're very close, folks. Amen. Oh, we're so close to the end of the latter rain. Praise God. Fruits are known for being sweet, not bitter. Amen. Sweetness comes from inner character. And we must remain sweet even when trials come along. Genesis 5:20, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Amen. I'm reading a book right now, a big old thick history book, about the war in Korea back in 1950. How it started, how it developed. I'm not finished with it yet, but I'm telling you, we lost a lot of young men. A lot of American soldiers died in the Korean War. And many of them that were captured, they found their bodies, and they did not take any prisoners. Basically, there were a few, but not very many. And they tied their hands tightly behind their back, with telephone cord or anything that they had, and they shot them in the head, and they went on to the next one. And they found them mutilated, they found them tortured and burned and all of that. And I thought, they gave their life for our freedom in this world. But wouldn't it just be great if we had a world of peace? Wouldn't it just be great if you could wake up in the morning and not worry about somebody stealing from you, and not worrying about somebody breaking into your house, and you wouldn't have to take classes about intruders coming into your house and practicing at the bullseye shooting range, Thunderbird shooting range, and worrying about all these things, packing wherever you go, and all of that. Now it's you can carry concealed without a permit, and you know what? I'll tell you what, I get real nervous. I'm sorry, Brother Charlie, but I get real nervous carrying a heater on me. I get nervous because I don't really know the circumstance. And you got to be pretty wise about what you're doing, or you're going to jail and you're going to lose everything you got just by pulling a trigger one time. But I'm telling you, I think we need to be able to protect our homes. We came into Augusta one day, and there was a girl in the middle of the road and a man with a pistol pointed right at her. pointed right at the traffic and everything. I thought, what an idiot. And I thought, what should I do? Should I run my car into him? Or what should I just call 911 and move on? And I said, call 911, and we moved on. And I said, you better get there. It looks like a hostage. They said, oh, there's a hostage situation developing. That's what the lady told me. I said, you better get there quick. I said, it's not a good situation. And I took the risk. He was pointed like this, and I was right over here. I quickly sped by and went on my way. And I found out later that the girl in the middle of the street was the thief and the perpetrator, and the man with the pistol was the one that was right. I'm glad I wasn't carrying. I'm glad I didn't take matters into my own hands. You know why? Because I don't know everything. Praise God. How am I going to grow in this vineyard? How am I going to grow in this field when this and this and this has happened? Listen, honey, you don't know everything. You may think you know everything, but you don't know everything. There's one thing that we need to know. Amen. You thought it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's all I need to know. Praise God. I'm telling you, that's all I need to know today. You meant it for evil. You go ahead and throw it at me if you want to. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do, but God's going to mean it for good. And as long as His face is shining upon me, everything's going to be all right. It may take some time. It may take some effort and energy. But I'm telling you what, it's worth it to keep my roots down deep. Amen. Because once you get uprooted, then you can be uprooted again. It becomes a process, or it becomes a system in your life. Amen. When you get into trouble on your job, somebody gives you a hard time, don't go up and quit and walk away. Because you know what? The next job you go to, it's going to be the same situation. And then after a while, you're going to have a job resume where it's this job, that job, that job. And people that have that kind of a resume say, well, they just weren't treating me right. Well, this just wasn't going right. That wasn't going right. And the person looking at the application says, this person's the one that's got the problem, not everybody else. Amen. We're not in the millennium. Right. We're not in the millennium. Amen. Where they beat the swords into plowshares. We're not in the millennium where everything is going all right. Amen. So I'm just going to stay where I'm at, and I'm going to produce good fruit. Amen. Precious fruit. Precious fruit. Amen. Not just halfway ordinary fruit, but I want to produce precious fruit. I want him to be able to say, I'll take that pear right there, $23,500. And the farmer smiles real big. Praise God. Precious fruit. Precious fruit. Revelation 14 and verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. Praise God. If I were to come up here today and say, folks, I saw an angel sitting on a cloud this morning, y'all would say, Pastor needs to up his medication a little bit. If we look in the book of Revelation, it says there were angels flying around the temple with six wings. It gives good description, six wings. Two wings covering their feet, two wings covering their face, and two wings flying. They never crashed into each other. They never bumped into the throne. They had a GPS system. They had it all figured out. They had faces with eyes all over the face. Creepy looking for us. It's not normal looking things. And they were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But here we are. Here we are this morning. And we're on this terra firma called earth. And I don't see anything with six wings. And I didn't see any angels sitting on a cloud this morning. I don't know how many are here this morning. But I'm telling you, they are here this morning. Amen. They are here this morning. And I don't know what they look like because God has not given me the ability to see these things. God just gave me a place to plant my feet. Amen. God just gave me a place to get my roots down. And if everything goes wrong, and if everything seems to be turned upside down, I'm telling you what, I'm just going to go read the book, and then I'll imagine in my mind, hey, there's probably an angel right up there on that cloud right now. But he spoke to the angel that was sitting on a cloud. I don't know if he had a chair, or was he just kind of sitting there? Or was he just kind of leaning, floating along on a cloud? And he spoke to him and said, get your sickle and go down and thrust it on the earth. Whew, the time of harvest has come. And the angel came and reaped the earth. Well, praise God. Amen. In the midst of my troubles and tribulations, I got to remember Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few, everybody said few. We're only raising 100 of these a year. We've only got so many trees, but we're pollinating them by hand, and we're inspecting them very closely. We're checking for the sugar content. We're injecting it in, and we're bringing it out and putting it into a special machine. And saying, oh, it's only 17% sweet. Get the honey out and spread it around the base of the plant, and hopefully we'll get it up to standard here so that we can sell this at a maximum price, so that we can use it for good, so that those that purchase things at high prices will know the quality that we have right here. Praise God. You know what we probably need, and I'm finishing here this morning, what we need is a machine or something that when we come in the door of the church, it'll measure our sweetness content. Well, praise God. You're smiling because you know there is no such thing. But if there was, I'm sure it would thin out the crowd. I ain't going. I take my coat off before they weigh me at the doctor's office, and I'm a man. I've seen some of those women go in there, and dear Lord, you almost have to turn your head when they weigh themselves. Want to make sure that we get it as low as possible. And they're looking. Don't tell me what it is. Praise God. I don't know what God uses for his measurements, but I know one thing, he's not interested in bitterness. Amen. He's not interested in bitterness. He's not interested in accusations. He's not interested in all the negative. Amen. We're not taking it with us to heaven, folks. Amen. We're not taking it with us to heaven. I'm thankful today for God's blessing. Let's stand right now. Can we do that? Let's stand together. Praise the name of Jesus. Can we just lift our voices right now and just thank God for his word? I love you, Jesus. I thank you this morning for your blessings. Thank you for the touch of your spirit this morning, God. Lay your hand upon us today. Touch us with the word of God. Touch us with the spirit of God this morning. Help us to realize, Lord, that you want us to flourish and to grow in your kingdom, to be blessed, 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 blessed. Praise God. Praise God. In one place in the scriptures, it says, those that live for God, and this is, I believe this is exactly how it says, they will suck honey out of the rock. And when your face is up against the rock, and there's nowhere to turn, and you can't go anywhere. That rock is solid. If you just examine it closely, somewhere in God's economy, there's going to be a little spot there. There's a little bit right there in that spot. Honey coming out of that rock. Well, I don't see any more honey anywhere. All I see is an old rock. I see people that climb rocks and their hands are all white and they're chaffed and everything. What's in a rock? Nothing in this world, but with God. With God, you're going to find a little spot in there and put a straw in there. Mm-mm. You know, when I was a kid, we used to pick those little things off, the little clovers. And they had those little bitty things, looked like a small trumpet. And you pluck it out of the center. Have you ever done that? It grows on the ground. It grows right flat on the ground. And you pick it off. We'd go out there and just pick them things off the ground and suck on them things. That's off the ground. That dirty, filthy ground produces things that are sweet. Praise God. You can make it, my friend. I said, you can make it. And not just make it, but you can be sweet. You can be sweet. Praise God.